We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the Word you have for us and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So kind of to introduce everything, Stephen is drawing close to the end of his defense before the VIPs and people of the church. Now he brings us up to date. Three people are prominent here: Jesus, David, and Solomon. We'll look at all three. But before that, one more mention of Moses, whom we have already covered. But now one final thing, because it really relates well to what follows. Acts 7:44 to 50, David, Jesus, David, Solomon. And verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. So we look at this tabernacle, which is really important. We could call this tabernacle the first church building. It was called the tabernacle of witness because God dwelt in it. Some of the details were, the tabernacle was very, very small, 30 cubits long, 10 cubits wide. Inside, it was very expensive, gold, silver, precious stones. But outside, it was a drab-looking little thing, covered with badger skins. The holy place was 20 cubits long. The most holy place was 10 cubits long. The furniture in the tabernacle formed the figure of a cross. And the tabernacle was used for some 500 years. Note the contrast here between the tabernacle and Solomon's temple. What a contrast. According to the fashion that he had seen, this is extremely interesting. There's a close connection between heaven and earth, much closer than what we would even begin to imagine. And among the other things, there's angels that are daily watching what is unfolding in this world. The first name we're going to look at is Jesus. And the verse reads this way, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers. We have here a verse that is mightily contested. The King James Version is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if this is true, then it can't have any mistakes in it, because the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. But many of the modern translations, I almost said all, translate Joshua instead of Jesus. So, Jesus is the one, according to this King James translation, that brought the children of Israel into the Holy Land. The name Joshua is not mentioned by name in any verse in the New Testament, except the modern translations, which instead of saying Jesus, say Joshua. So, it was brought into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out Jesus drove out, not Joshua. And this is one of the key verses that those who hate the King James Version, this is one of the key verses they bring out to show one of the mistakes, quote unquote, in the King James translation. It's an obvious error, they believe. The obvious error is mentioned by people who do not have an understanding of Scripture in a spiritual sense. And the truth of the matter is that the translators of the King James Version were not stupid people. They knew the difference between Joshua and Jesus. And we have to remember this, that the Holy Spirit inspired the King James translation, and the Holy Spirit writes differently than man writes. And if we're going to judge the King James translation according to the way a man would write it, we're going to find errors all over the place. But you can't do that. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. He wrote this translation. And we have to look at how he writes, which is often very differently than the way man writes. So, Hebrews chapter 7, just as an interesting thing, makes the same so-called mistake that we find in the King James translation, and those who are pointing out errors point this one out too. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Of course, the modern translations say, if Joshua had given them rest, etc. So the red flag is raised here. And we'll have to look a little bit at some of the parallels. Joshua conquered Jericho. Jesus is going to conquer Babylon, which is a city of the devil. Joshua destroyed the Canaanites. Jesus will destroy Lucifer and the wicked ones. The Gentiles are mentioned in verse 45. The gospel goes to the Gentiles when the Jews rejected it. Now, okay, I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this because it is so important. If all of the modern translations, just about, are correct, then there's a big mistake twice here in the King James translation, and it would not be inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's what's at stake here. So, the truth of the matter is that in the manuscripts that the King James translation came from, every one of them have the word Jesus, not Joshua. I have in my hands right now a book that was written entitled The Errors, the word errors is in quotation marks, The Errors in the King James Bible. And this book is about 500 pages long, and it deals with all of the so-called mistakes that the other translations have, and shows that they're not really mistakes at all. So one of the things in this book is that every single manuscript in the King James translation has the word Jesus, not the word Joshua. So somebody is changing things in Scripture. And there's a terrible penalty, by the way, for anybody that adds to or takes away from Scripture. Now, okay, so it's interesting to me that this man says that all of the manuscripts that the King James translation used had the word Jesus. That's encouraging to me, but I can't check that out. I've never had one of the manuscripts to look at. So we're taking somebody's word for this, but it's encouraging. This man believes that the Bible is the King James Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. In all the words there are Jesus. The modern translations have changed some of the manuscripts that were found by archaeologists and given precedence over the King James documents, even though these new ones were headed by people that don't even believe in the inspiration of Scripture. Westcott and Hort are the two devils that started this. But anyway, so we've got to go somewhere else. I also have a book that's a a version of the Defender's Bible, of the King James Version. It's kind of a commentary is what it is. And he also mentions that the word Jesus are in the original manuscripts. I'm going to quote for him. It's by Dr. Henry Morris, the Defender's Study Bible. I have an autographed copy. He gave a talk at the seminary one time. It was very effective. So, in verse 45, with Jesus, this reference is to Joshua, whose name was in the Hebrew form Jesus, meaning Jehovah the Savior, or simply salvation. Possibly Stephen inserted this name here deliberately in order to subtly call attention to the parallel ministries of Joshua, who conquered Canaan, and Jesus, who had come to conquer Satan, sin, and death. So at least he's defending the translation Jesus and telling why the Holy Spirit maybe mentioned this in the King James translation. He looks at the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 8, which is the other indicator that the King James was written by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit puts the same name there. And his comment is this: Jesus. Most expositors understand this to mean Joshua. Well, that's true, but it's according to these other manuscripts that are not perfect. They're not inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is also possible to understand this as actually referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who as the angel of the presence, Isaiah 63:9, who in his love and in his pity redeemed them as he led them into the promised land under Joshua. In any case, this was not the ultimate rest that God had promised his people. So that's good too. But this is another opinion. So, and it's so important. It's so important. If by far the majority of the translators are correct, then there's a big error here twice in the King James translation, and there's no way it can be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So, what do we do? Well, what we do is what we've been taught to do, and that is to compare Scripture with Scripture. It's called word study. And the key reference that we would look at if we spent some time to use the concordance or get on the computer and search some of these things out, the key reference in the Old Testament would be Joshua chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. And the Holy Spirit inspired this too, by the way. And this is the key that opens the lock. And it reads this way. And it seems to me that this was a night scene. That Joshua and the children of Israel had crossed the Jordan River in flood stage. And remember, Moses is dead and gone now. Now the mantle rests on Joshua, and he is the commander of the Israelite army. And they had, with a miracle, it was even greater than the crossing of the Red Sea. The Jordan River was at flood stage. And God backed it up into a big pillar and pushed it back further than the city of Adam. That's meaning too. But the point of it is that Joshua led the children of people of Israel over the dry land. Now they're in enemy territory. And the next day, they're going to attack the city of Jericho. And it seems to me that this is a night scene, that Joshua walked out by himself to kind of look the situation over in planning for the attack. And then it happened. Joshua 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay. Didn't answer the question. You're asking the wrong question. Nay. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Takes us right back to the burning bush, doesn't it? So the question is, who is this captain of the host of the Lord? Who is that? Who is the one that Joshua fell down face to the earth and worshiped? A little child knows the answer to this one. It was Jesus. Jesus Christ was the captain of the host of the Lord, and Joshua was only under him. And the next day, when the battle was, the next week, when the battle was fought and won, Jesus was the one that was doing it. And the King James translators had this exactly right. This is not a mistake. It's the truth. And it's by the Holy Spirit. And here we have to remember something that very few people realize. And that is that there were special times in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ appeared in human form before he was born in the manger at Bethlehem. And the Holy Spirit records these things. And when Jesus occurs and appears in the Old Testament in human form, it was always when there was a very, very important time. One occurrence of it that we know of also well was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the furnace was heated 7 times over, and the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace were killed by the flame themselves. It was so hot. And so the king is watching this, and he says, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace?" They say, "Yeah, that's right, 1, 2, 3. And the king said, "But I see 4 men in there. There's 4 guys in there, and the 4th one is like the Son of God." And he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out, and they were in perfect condition. Even the hair of their head was not singed. But the 4th one stayed in there. The Son of God stayed in there. Why? So that when you and I are in our fiery trials, he's in there with us. That's why. So this is extremely precious, and it's extremely important. And many of the translators in the modern versions do not have a spiritual understanding of the words that they're translating. They can look at words, they might know the Greek, they might know the Hebrew, but they don't understand the spiritual meaning of these things, which are hidden from them by the Holy Spirit. And then they don't follow the 2 rules of studying Scripture. As you know, rule number 1, always begin your study of Scripture praying for the Holy Spirit to guide you and open up the treasures which are in it. And rule number 2 is never forget rule number 1. And these guys don't follow this, and they don't know what they're translating about. This is important. So the first name we looked at here was Jesus. And that's the way it should be. He's the one that won that battle against Jericho. He's commander-in-chief of the Israelite army, and Moses and Joshua fell down and worshipped him. Then we get to David, unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. So the tabernacle had been lost, and David realized that, and he found it. And then, after a couple happenings, he wanted to build a better temple. A temple! He wanted to do that for God, instead of this little tabernacle that from the outside looked like it amounted to nothing. So he wanted to build a bigger church for God, and God said, "No, you're a man of war, and you shouldn't be building a temple for me, but I don't need a temple anyway." Then we come to Solomon, and Solomon did build another temple for God, and later on, Herod entered into the mix, and Herod was a Roman ruler who loved building buildings. He knew how to do it. He worked on the temple that Solomon had built, improving it for 42 years, and he still wasn't finished. But the queen of the south heard about the wisdom of Solomon, and she left her kingdom from the end of the south and came up to the Holy Land and talked with Solomon and watched as he worshipped in his temple and everything, and her breath was taken away. The things I heard about you, that wasn't half the truth that was told. It was even greater than that. So what we're trying to show is this. If we could see the difference between the temple, the tabernacle of the Old Testament was used for 500 years. If we could see the difference between that tabernacle and the temple of Solomon, We would be so amazed at the difference. The one didn't look like it had anything, and the other had everything. And the people loved that temple. This was our temple. We built this temple. This is where God dwells. Well, even the disciples were taken in with this. And they came to their Savior one time and said, have you ever beheld the buildings here of this temple? We go, look at this. We'll give you a tour of it. And it's recorded twice. Matthew 24, verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one here, one stone upon another, which shall not be thrown down. This temple that you're worshiping is going down, and you're going down with it. Mark 13, verse 2, Jesus answering said unto him, this is Peter, seest thou all these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So the Holy Spirit here, through Stephen, uses the word Jesus. And everyone there listening to him hated that word. They hated it. And what Joshua was nothing compared to Jesus. And what Stephen was accusing these people of is, you destroyed Jesus, the promised one. And you hated him, and you nailed him to the cross and killed him, and you did it. So the people that Stephen was talking to now had two choices. They could either repent and ask for forgiveness, or they could become more angry even than they were before. And the truth is shown that when the Word of God is preached and taught in its truth and purity, it either saves men's souls or it makes them angry. Viciously angry. There's an application, obviously, in our own generation, where within such a few years, the emphasis has changed from saving souls to gaining numbers and making money. And like it was in Stephen's day, the church is too far gone to ever recover. And the answer is, avoid them. Leave for the salvation and safety of your own souls. And thank God that he's given us an inspired Bible that's truth all the way through, no errors whatsoever in it, the King James Version of the Holy Bible.